The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
The Lord God Almighty will bless you tonight. Declare, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. We bless you, we thank you. But definitely, the time has come for your people to really gather unto you. This is the season of your gathering. But we appreciate you tonight for mercy. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your mercy has drawn us. Your mercy has called us. Thank you for your mercy has extended to us. We bless your name tonight. Your word will not fail. What your mouth has spoken will come to pass. Every title, every jottings of the law will never go unfulfilled. If your mouth has spoken it, you are faithful enough to bring it to pass. We appreciate you, the faithful witness. The first begotten from the dead, Jesus, the true and the faithful witness. We appreciate it tonight. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for this appointment. It's with you. We have an appointment with our Father. We have an appointment with our Savior, Jesus Christ, tonight. We have the best divine appointment for our elevation. Thank you tonight for you are in this place. We thank you for every soul that you have drawn to yourself. Glory and honor to you tonight. Libro honda sibalata handa bashanda lebrahanda balia poba sotor. Ereshkia no supena masiana masida balia pa rabalashkia. Arota hada sida balia ma rabalashkia and dasiva. Bring us to punish your pelima rabalatasia. That will be held to you, that will be held close to your heart tonight. That this minute, this meeting, this ministration tonight will draw every one of your people everywhere, every heart will be drawn to you, God. We'll be closer, we'll be nearer to you. Thank you tonight. Thank you for the blood that you have shed for us. Glory and honor to you. We appreciate you. Thanks for love. Thanks for love. Thanks, Lord, for love. Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise your name forever. In Jesus' name, I will pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome tonight to this special midweek service. We give thanks to God for the privilege we have again to come together to learn at His feet. And I trust Him tonight that He will come and instruct our hearts. He will shed His light upon us and we will be enlightened. And by the time we finish this meeting, we will never remain the same again. The word of the Lord will not fail until Shiloh come. Shiloh is the gathering of God's people. It's a gathering unto God. And how much Jesus Christ desire that we see that gathering. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept strongly over Jerusalem. And the way that he will have gathered as a hen gather her chicks, her children. So he will have gathered them together. But you know, but it was impossible because they were not aware of the time of their visitation. Amen. That means his intention is to bring his people together. And look at them, so many around him, and they were like sheep without shepherd. They were scattered. Though they were with him, it's a very, very pathetic state to be close with him externally, yet to be far with him inside, inwardly. Amen. Praise God. I believe this season the Lord is going to bring an alignment in our heart with him. That will make us really near to the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be spending time at this time looking into the content of this calling. We're going to be looking at it. We have seen them roll out to us
a syllabus. When you have syllabus, you have your curriculum. You understand the thing? You have your curriculum, and they break it down into to weekly contents scheme. Okay, and it's inside the scheme that your lessons are now going to be taken. It's not breaking, you know, the scheme into its content. And what's going to really instruct us is the content. Praise God. Amen. So I want to trust the Lord that He's going to help us greatly in this season. And not just give us an head knowledge, empower our heart. It will empower our heart. It will get His work done in us. He has the greatest expectation, not just letter cues, but Spirit gives life. So it's not how much of teachers will read, but how much of life really, you know, zoom to our heart there to bring salvation. Praise God. So we're going to read again. Like I just like reading a place in 1 Timothy. You know, I just love those instructions and injunctions of Paul to his dear son, Timothy. I hope Paul will see me as a dear son. I hope he will see me like that. Amen. I wish Paul would see me and say, my dear son, Busui. Huh? Well, I wish that. It's not going to be far for Jesus to say I'm his dear son. What Paul can prove me? Wow. It's not easy to please Paul. You know that? First Timothy 1, verse 17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Some don't want to they contest fatherhood in the gospel. I say that it's consistent with the gospel. You can't be a trusted servant if you have not been fathered by trusted fathers. You cannot be. So you can learn generally from people, but you must be under tutelage. You must be under watch, under shepherding. That is in the gospel. You may not be in other fields. Amen. Praise the Lord. It does not mean that you learn the mistake of the person with your own mistake. No. But it means that you are under watch. You are under training. That's better than education. You understand that? So it's not just Paul talking. That's the manner of the spirit. So let's see. We're reading that place. Son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Now these people may not really be unbelievers, but their faith have been shipwrecked. They are not making progress in faith that can lead to eternal life. You know, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. So if you are not able to fight the good fight of faith and finish the course of faith, you cannot guarantee inheritance of eternal life. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Praise God. So any New Testament church must have a strong base of the faith of the Son of God, or the faith of Christ. You must have a very strong base. For the strength of the church will depend on that foundation. And so you see, the old church is the church of Ephesus is built around that. So it was instructing Paul, Timothy here, concerning the territory of Ephesus. Actually, he instructed him that he would not allow any doctrine to survive there to take charge. Make sure that you charge them not to bring in any other doctrine. It's clear the goal of the doctrine is that anyone who began in the faith has an end. He must inherit eternal life. Praise God. So last time, I think last Wednesday, we were looking at the problem that comes when you know, the enemy comes with all things, knowledge that looks right in the gospel. We, you know, we talk about neither verse 4 says, neither give it to fables, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So everything that is to be done should be done in faith, because it has a target. It's a development that is growing towards a focus. It must grow towards the head. Are we in the house, please? It's not just any our building. It's a building that has specification. And that specification itself is Christ. So when that work is built, it must look exactly like the pattern, which is Christ. It must actually be Christ. Praise God. So make sure that no other thing comes in there and interact with that. If further, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse, let me read to you from verse 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead that is appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, re-exhort with unlocked suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own laws shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ear. It means they have decided on their end before they began. They sat on their end. So they look for teachers who would take them to where they are going to. They are not going on God's journey. They have their own journey. Praise God. So they look for teachers who will instruct them along the path. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fable. So when men do not embrace truth, it's easy for other things to take them over. It's easy for fables and other knowledge to take them over. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. What he's talking about there, he was telling Timothy, you will do the work of an evangelist. What's the work of an evangelist? It's not to go out and bring souls in. Amen. It's not telling him go out and bring souls in. It's saying what I've taught you, preach it. Preach it. Repeat it. Preach it. Let souls be established in it. So evangelists, their job is to establish souls. Amen. That's New Testament evangelists. You know, it's the same. You want to preach the same new birth, but you preach it with conviction under the anointing. And souls are better established in their new birth faith. So when you say this is an evangelist, we're talking about somebody who's going to go out there and bring in people. No, that's not New Testament evangelist. No, they're in the fivefold ministry, whose job is to perfecting the saints and not bringing unbelievers. I think you know that. Amen. Am I getting to you? Ephesians says that the four. He gave some, you know, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. So evangelists is meant to perfect the saints. They have their job inside the church. Praise God. Praise God. So you know, some people just say, I have a burden for souls. I have a burden for souls. And the burden is to go to Laji. That is not all about burden for souls. We're going to see very soon. Amen. To bring them from deadness to faith is just the initial part of the work. And anybody can do that. Only the evangelist may have more anointing to do it in MS, to do it in larger form, in larger space. Praise God. Amen. Even at the rate at which people do it normally, you know, you are not still an evangelist. That 1, 1, 2, 2 you are bringing is not an evangelist. When you start an evangelist, he brings them in thousands. En masse. The whole city tongues, and that's evangelist. When you hear bunker, that's an evangelist. Amen. That 10 times you are doing, any believer should do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. So, The job is that the saints must be establishing truth. I also read the place to us last time. I was talking about the office of a deacon and bishop. Let's read again tonight. We're trusting the Lord for help and guide tonight so that we can make good progress. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of fit lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. So these are the whole mystery. So we have been looking at the mystery of the faith. That has been the major point of discussion here. The mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. The mystery of the faith in a pure... Now, Jesus did not use all these words in the gospel. Do you know that? You don't hear the mystery of the faith. All you hear is mystery of the kingdom. That's all you're going to hear in the gospel. But he's talking about it. It's when you can see the whole thing together in a common picture, you will understand better that God has the same intention, only that the language of use is just different. Praise God. The mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And in Ephesians we read, it says that you come to the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. Knowledge of the Son of God. So the faith itself is about somebody. It's a person. It's not believing. It's a personality. See, we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge. So the faith is the knowledge of the Son of God. Are we in the house, please? Amen. So when you hear the faith is about a person. It's a person. And we call that person Christ. Jesus asked them, "Who do you say I am?" He said, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this stone I will build my church." Can you see that? It is upon me. No. Upon this rock I will build my church. And again, thou art Peter, thou art a stone. Not upon you, stone, upon this stone. So you have just unveiled, or you have just heaved out a stone. Which is the stone? Amen. Praise God. He said, "Because the stone that the builders rejected, the stone." And we know stones in this, you know, in scripture has to do with spirit. Spirit that calls stones. Praise God. So upon this spirit person, that's what they have just said. Which we call a stone is a spirit person. It's a spirit person. It's a spirit. It's a person. It's a spirit. It's a person. It's not a carnal person. It's a spirit person. Are you here tonight? Hallelujah. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this stone, upon this rock, which is stone, I will build my church. I will raise my assembly. I will call out men to this stone. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, against this church, against this stone. Hallelujah. So what Christ has in mind when he says the gate of hell is talking about the fact that my church that I will build is a built church. It's not just a born church. It's a built church. So if the church is not built up, then hell can still prevail. Is that all right? So the mandate is that the church will be built, and it will be built upon this stone, or I say upon, or I will use this stone to raise them. So they will become a living stone, church of the living stone. It will be a stone church. Praise God.
Another thing is that upon this revelation, for that person, that the Spirit has to be revealed. Because it was revealed to Peter. Is that not? And he said, it is my Father who is in heaven who revealed it to you. You can't know it. It says revealed. And revealed means that his person is revealed, then his nature has to be revealed. At the point that Peter was saying that, it was his person that was revealed. Peter did not know who the Son of God is. But he got that a person, that you, Jesus, you are the Christ. So that's the place to start with. That's what got us born again, is that not? That this Jesus is the Christ. So it's repent from unbelief. It's not repent from sin. Repent to believe that this Jesus is the Christ. So we must be able to understand how to get people, how to reach to people, and what has happened to us, so we can help others to come in. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you came in through a very, very difficult door. It does not mean that everybody should come through that same door if it's not according to truth. Well, you know truth now, you must adjust the door so others can come in easily. You understand what I'm saying? So at the time we got born again, it was not easy like that. And it was not easy in your days because they added many things to it. Amen. But when it is now revealed and grace is open to know how it happened, let them come through the door of grace, not the door of labor. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, if you meet old professors who became professors by reading on the shelf, you write papers by reading on library shelf. Oh my God, that's terrible. So today you just meet young guys who have published 10 articles who have not been to the library, and they are not happy. Amen. They say, this guy has spoiled. They are spoiled generation. Just spoiled generation. No, things are changing because book is available everywhere now. You know what I'm saying? Because where you are, open book and be reading. Hallelujah. So if you're not careful, you want people to go through your hard door. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is the basic place. Now, to us today, why is it Christ? We can't talk about the mystery of faith if the person of that faith is not understood. Now, Jesus said to Peter, this is not you. You were helped. My Father in heaven helped you. Because that thing he said made meaning to Peter. That was to Peter and Jesus, that was a great discovery. Because all of the Jews are expecting Christ. All their fathers are waiting for Christ. All that the law and the prophet has been pointing to is Christ. Even Moses said, is a prophet like unto me, shall the Lord your God raise to you. He won't send it to you, we raise him. So they know among them will arise the Christ. It won't be an angel that will fall from anywhere, right, with me? Praise God. But God will raise him. So to say, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. That's where our faith, the faith of God, the faith of Jesus, that's where it rivets on. When I say Christ died, it's because somebody died, called Christ. Is that not right? Praise God. Thomas is dead, his resurrection is because of Christ. If any man died, that's not Christ, he would not make anything. If millions and billions of people have died, have even died on the cross. The day Christ died, two others died with him. Is it not true? So it's not the cross that does the job. It's the person that died. Do you get it now? What I say, it's not the cross that did the job, it's the person that died. Because sometimes your faith can be more in the cross than the person. A It's Christ that died. Amen. Come on, say Christ died. I like what I say. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ that died. So it's Christ. 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 So when you say Christ to you, it doesn't make any much sense than the person called Christ. They say somebody died who is called Christ. But to the Jewish people, when you say Christ, it means Savior. That's the sin of the last days. There will arise many Christ. Many Christ that will project many Christ that is not the Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So it's not only that we say in this church, Christ is our Lord. Yeah, we must know that Christ. Who it's not enough. Christ can be any person in the image imagination of the person who's saying it. It can be a concept, it can be an ideology, it can be and the church will be built seriously and service will go on and songs will go on. But it's not the Christ. It's not the Christ. It's another Christ. So one of the last day problems is that many Christs will arise. Many Christs will arise. Does it mean people say I'm Christ? No. They will present many Christ. Hallelujah. Many prophets, many teachers will arise and they will project many Christ. Or they will say I am Christ. What does it mean? They will tell you this is the revelation of Christ. They will present an I am Christ. Amen. Yet it's not the Christ. So to these people, when it says thou art Christ, what is it talking about? Let's just check a few verses of scriptures tonight as we make progress here. Amen. John chapter 1:14. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found that his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Which has been interpreted. So Christ is an interpretation of Messiah. I'm going to see that from the Greek approach, Christ is more about the anointed one. And I discovered that is can be misleading. The Greek comes from the Christos. The anointed one, which focus more on his anointing than his person and his mission. The focus is not just coming with anointing. No, that's not the focus. Are we in the house, please? Messiah. Messiah means Savior. Let's check out and see that. Praise God. So it's interpreted the Christ. So the Messiah is the Christ by interpretation. So when a Jewish man says Messiah, he's actually talking about the Christ. Praise God. Let's see chapter 4 again. Verse 21, chapter 4. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what? We worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is when the true worshippers shall do what? Worship the Father in spirit and what? And in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh, I like that. God is a spirit. And they that worship him must do what? Must worship him in spirit And what? And in truth, see verse 25. The woman said unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he's come, he will tell us what? So, every Jewish person, this woman was a Samaritan. It's not the called Jew person. But both Samaritan and Jews, they have expectation that the promise that is God has given to them and their fathers is that the Messiah will come. And this Messiah is called Christ. And one of the major things we do, when he is come, he will tell us all things. Though they didn't know the meaning of the all things, but they knew that he would tell them all things. Moses said, when he come, he will teach you. Can you see that? And anyone who will not hear his voice shall be cut off from among the people. So it means that what he will bring to them is their security. I went in the house this. Now it will appear as if when Moses was saying that he will set out under the law, and under the law, if you disobey the law and then you are cut off, then you are beheaded. Because under that system, the judgment is put in the hand of the leadership. Are we right together, please? So when Moses asked them if anybody commits so-and-so, stone him to death. They don't need to ask, should we stone him? Once a man commits a thing that transgressed that command, the people just respond like that. So in the Jewish whatever, they have heap of stones here and there. They don't, amen. I went in the house, please. Because stone is a major part of the law. Because people will break the law. Amen. And most of the instruction of the law has to do with stoning. Hallelujah. So it is easy to find that man, the woman, caught in the adultery. And the next thing is that once they just saw it was in the very act. So they don't need an eyewitness. You know what I'm saying? I went in the house, please. So they actually asked Jesus so they can trap Jesus into the matter. They weren't asking him so that he can be a witness. Right? It was in the very act. So Moses said we should stone him. What do you say? And Jesus cannot invalidate what Moses has said. I went in the house, please. So he had to pass through the realm of the spirit to judge and condemn their heart. So that they won't be able to stone her, not because he said they should not stone her. For Moses by the law said, stone her. So when he said, shall be cut off from among the people, it's that he will be stoned to death. Praise God. But in God's mind, when you believe God's revelation, you are saved. When you kick against it, you are grounded. You know what I'm saying? So it is the same truth that kills. But it asks power to save and to kill. So stoning them is not going to be physical stone. It's is the revelation itself. So it's saying that when it comes, it will tell us all things. And all things there will be things that will save us. Let's see further. We read in John 4. Let's read further verse... move to 42, please. Thank you very much for that, please. And said unto the woman, that's the people, after he has come to tell them, I saw a man who told me, let's read the preceding verses, please, and see what he told them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Chapter 4. Okay, Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee, I am he. Should we have to go that far? 39, okay, 39, please. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. Can you see their perspective of all things? Now, this is not God revealing his intention to them now. It's them observing what was going on and interpreting by what has been spoken. Let me say it again. It was not the Lord revealing his thoughts to them. They were the one interpreting the events or the actions of Jesus based on what the Lord said. So it means that he would tell you all things, which involves all that ever I did. But we'll discover down in the epistle that all things is not all that ever I did. So if they were to stay with Jesus at that point, they would still not have come into the faith. Because they will respond to Jesus based on those gifts of the Spirit. All that ever I did. Any prophet can do that to you. You know what I'm saying? Amen. It does not take Messiah to tell you that. You know, he told Nathaniel, I saw thee, we were under the tree. I saw you. And Jesus was not there. And he was afraid. He said, wow, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. He just laughed. He said, because I told you that I saw you under the tree. He said, because I saw you under the fig tree. Believest thou? Is that what you believe? Well, that's not the key. Huh? Thou shalt see greater things than this. There are things than those physical observations. Oh my God. Are you here this evening, please? Amen. You know, to us carnal people, when you ask anybody have glimpse into any part of the natural life, maybe somebody has just been and said, met you and said, yesterday you had a dream. And in the dream, two people were with you. Two ladies were with you. One used umbrella. Once he starts saying that and it correlates to exactly what happened, you will melt. It doesn't matter who you are, it will get your attention. You know what I'm saying? You know, even ministers of the gospel, let me tell you, ministers of the gospel, sometimes God will have to send some people to them to encourage them. Amen. You've been walking in faith, you have been walking with the Lord, all of that for 2, 3, 5 years, and things are tough. And it's as if you pray, nothing is happening. You pray as if you're not hearing any voice. As if, am I wrong? Am I not doing the right thing? Am I what's wrong with me? All of that. And maybe someone just came and brought the word of the Lord to you and told you the Lord is with you. But he had just told you that thing you did last week or last year. Is what he has interest in it. You smile. It's as if they pour cold water on you. You know what I'm saying? What he has done never invalidated what has ever happened. It doesn't contribute to it. It does only help our infirmity because we are still in the flesh. You know what I'm saying? He called all the old city together to Jesus because Jesus told her many things about her life. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them. And he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Not because of the report of the woman, because of his own word. Now he was still not teaching them the things that pertain to the Messiah. He still things that they can relate with based on the sight through which that woman engage him. You know what I'm saying now? And some of the woman, no, we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So the Christ is Messiah. The Messiah is the Savior of the world. What is important about his person is that he is the Christ. That's his person. And what he stands for is salvation. He's the Savior of the world. The Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world. He's salvation. Now, all of that was confirmed at the birth of Jesus. He said, and shall call his name Jesus. Are we right together, please? Right? He didn't say, shall call him Jesus Christ. No. His name Jesus, though he's the Christ. At the point when he will begin to be Savior of the world, he will not just be Jesus, he will have become Christ. Right? So Jesus will become Christ. And once he becomes Christ, he will not become the Savior of the world. So his name shall call Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. From their sin. He shall bring forth his son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. So the faith of Christ is the person of Christ saving the world or saving his people from sins. That's the primary context of Christ. Are we in the house, please? He called it mystery of faith. Now, it's not looking at faith now based on what people are saying about faith, but what God intends that the faith we do, or what the faith is. Are we right? So the faith is about Christ saving his people from their sins. There are a lot of things about salvation. Oh, you call it deliverance. You call it healing. The same word used for salvation also means, you know, Greek word is a common word. Right? The word salvation means, is from the word zozo, which is compound word. It means save. It means deliver. It means heal. It means preserve. Are we in the house, please? All of this is from sin. If he gave food to you to eat, it's not salvation from his agenda as the Christ. That's just where issue of mystery of faith becomes a problem. Once you do not stay within the confines of his revelation by God himself, you have a problem. Because let me tell you one. Now, the Jewish people here who are expecting salvation have their many troubles. Are we in the house together, please? They have their what? Many troubles. From oppression of the enemy, oppression of other nations. And that one led to poverty. Serious poverty. At the time Christ was born, the nation was seriously poor, impoverished. But the Jewish nation suffered that way many years. You remember the days of Gideon? In which nobody threshed openly. And for you to thresh very well, you need to be threshed on the heat up so that the wind can blow. Amen. So a serious time, once they are harvested, the enemy comes, pack away everything. That was how bad it was. So Israel has suffered like that over times and times again. That was why they were not clearly in the midst of their leadership, people like David. He came and led them in a manner they never had before. Amen. Praise God. Though there was not much plenty, but you could see a leader who is a servant leading people. In the days of Solomon, the nation was richer, but people were poorer. The nation was more beautiful, looked more glorious. They built the temple, they built many things, the fame went abroad. But average person in the nation suffered. So they've gone through all manner of things. And God has spoken to them, giving them respite of salvation or deliverance from their enemies. Praise the name of the Lord. Chapter 9 of Zechariah 5, verse 5. Ashkelon shall see it and fear. Gaza also shall see it. Are you there? And be very sorrowful. an acorn, for her expectation shall be ashamed. And the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod. That was like, it was vengeance. God was plaguing the nations against Israel. And I will cut off the pride of the Philistines, and I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah. That was hope to Israel. Is that not true? And Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about my own house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them anymore. Huh? Amen. To them is respite for them, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them anymore. For now have I seen with my eyes. See verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, and having what? Salvation. Lowly, and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariots of Ephraim. So, when you hear that, what does it appear to you? It means that when this king comes and brings salvation, then it will cut off the shadows from Ephraim. Is that not? So I will. He has introduced a savior with salvation here. So when he says, I will, it means the savior will do that. Is it clear to us? And the horse from Jerusalem and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen. And his dominion shall be from sea to even to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Oh my God. But as for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent for thy prisoners out of the pit wherein there is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. Even today do I declare that I will render double unto thee. When I have bent Judah for me, fill the bow with Ephraim, and raise up thy son, O Zion, against thy son, O Greece. Can you see that? And make thee as the son of a mighty man, and the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning, and the Lord God shall blow the trumpet, and shall go with the wild wind of the south. Hallelujah. Now, if a Jewish man, and you read this, you are a Jewish person, you are a Jewish son, you are a Jewish scribe, you are a Jewish leader, you are a Jewish prophet, and this is what came to us. What is going to look like? In the day when salvation will come, it will be a time of great deliverance, a time of battle. Are we right? A time of great battle, a time of God, you know, avenging their enemies. So, you discover that though the prophet were speaking, God was using the context of the national problem to speak to them concerning his agenda for the whole world. So what he has to do is not about the Jewish person or Jewish nation, it's about the whole of humanity. So he was using the situation of the nation to speak to them. Are we in the house together, please? So, faith is a mystery that has to be interpreted or revealed, or else you will run against God's intention. When the Savior will come, though he was still a king, but he didn't appear like a king. Because normally a king should ride on a horse. That's royalty. That's war. When you see nations who are warring, they use horses. When you see Babylon, it's us. When you see great nation, Greece, is us. Now, your own king will come, he will ride upon an ass. and they didn't ask questions. Why an ass? They saw other things written about him that he would do. And how will a king in this manner do that? It's thy king. Yet he won't come with seemingly what you know as royalty. That's what it took only Jesus to fulfill the word of the prophet. No natural man can fulfill it. No, it's confusing. It's confusing. If you are a king, then you appear in Israel. The other kings will know that a king has arisen in Israel. Is that not true? They must know two kings cannot be in the same nation at the same time. Are we right together, please? You don't feel that other nations, other kings should know. Like when he was born, Herod knew that today was is born the king of the Jews. And to him, how can another king be born when he's still ruling? It's an aberration. So he sent out people to go and kill, to go and look up for the child and kill the child. So if the child came in and he is a king, he should also be against the king. Is that not true? Kings must be against kings. But he knew his kingdom is not of this world. That must have been revealed. It must have been revealed. It's not easy to get that clear. It's not easy. And they have spoken. They said, "Behold, thy king cometh. He's meek." It's not a war, but not in the way you know warfare. It's not a war the way you understand warfare. It's a war in a different manner. He's sitting upon an ass and a colt, which is abnormal. The foal of an ass. That's a female ass. So ride it together. Going to ride upon the ass and a foal, smaller size, a female ass. It's not meant to do that. When he does that, then the king has come. I went in the house list. And he did not go to learn how to ride an ass. And a foal of an ass is not, you can't do that easily. Because the foal has to wait for you. And the foal of an ass is more active. The ass has been broken. Ass will obey you because the will has been broken. But smaller ones, they don't obey anybody. So for the two to keep the same pace. And he actually rode and kept pace. Then a power must have breathed to it to keep pace. That's the power of peace. What we normally run against themselves is now working together. And is defining it to you, flesh and spirit. They are never together. They don't ever work together. But now, Christ is going to live in flesh. Mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. I went to the house this. What looks irreconcilable will be reconciled. We have not seen a wild ass before. That's not been tamed. Oh my God, they are wild. If you put any load on them, they ate load. Once you drop load, something then reacts against the load. So when you see them going with load, it's because they have been broken. Praise God. Important thing that is going to bring, by this method, it's going to bring salvation. Now all this about salvation is not known. He's just announcing salvation. What is salvation? They don't know. It's only God who knows salvation. How in the house, please? Praise God. But it's your king, it's Christ, is bringing salvation. Which was defined later as saved, being saved from their sins. You know, the church, many times, you want to look at this manner of sin. Let's not be too busy with sin. You don't know what is God saying. If you know it, you naturally know that the sin for his Savior to have died for is for sin. The whole problem of man is sin. You know that. You see? For all have sinned and have come short of what? I think we preach that so much in the days of New Birth. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his Son because all have sins and have come short of the glory of God. Man can't be what he should be as long as sin is there. Sin is man's limitation. Amen. So a church that we handle the mystery of faith must know that Jesus died for sin. The reason for the sun to come is because sin needs to be dealt with. And sin cannot be dealt with by just anybody. It must be dealt with by that level of sacrifice. That level of personality must have to die to take away sin. Why? Because without shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. Sin is a life. And one life must come to deal with sin. Sin is not just that you are doing what is wrong. It's a life. I went to the house place. It's a life. So if that life will be dealt with, another life must be given. So God needed to raise Christ to be the another life that would deal with this life called sin and death. We must come and accept these realities in our heart. From the outer court to the most holy, they are dealing with sin. The old tabernacle system is dealing with sin. It's only because of blindness of eyes. We don't know what sin is. So when there's sin now, all our mind is on is lying, is fornicating, is what? So the Bible has to begin to define sin. If anything is not of faith, it's sin. Can you see that? Now if it's not revealed, it's sin. So whatever is not made known, it's sin. If it is transgression of the law, it's sin. If the God said this is standard of what to be done, if you do it less than that, it's sin. Praise God. All unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteous. If it's unrighteous, if it's not right, by whose standard? By God's standard. It's sin. Is that not true? Praise God. So you can understand when someone has said, if God should mark sin, who shall stand? Nobody. They want to mark sin. Now don't say, no, this. We eat sin like we eat meat. So my mind is that when are we going to finish this meat? Oluwa, I am an ikorimaji. Olumaji, that is how many years? Only Ojabo. So we brought all those things into our prayers to make allowance for sin. You know what I'm saying? Agreeing that sin can be dealt with. But Jesus the Christ died for sin. It doesn't matter where you bring the gospel anywhere in the world. If it's not dealing with sin in all this manner, it's not salvation from the Savior, the Christ. It's not the work of the Messiah. Do you know that in school, when they are teaching you mathematics or teaching your course, what are they taking away from you? Ignorance. For ignorance is sin. Ignorance is sin. Why? You ignore. You won't pay attention to what can keep. I went to the house place. Amen. Like we're taught there sometimes they go, wash your hands many times. As many times as possible, wash your hands. Were you doing that Sunday? I said, were you doing that Sunday? Wash your hands every time, just wash your hands. You're all gonna laugh, I won't wash my hands. What's wrong with me? My hand is not dirty. So if you ignore that, you carry jam. Now, what is destroying your body is not the jam, it's your ignoring instruction to save. You know what I'm saying? It's not jam. Jam will always be present anywhere. I went in the house, please. It's when you put jam where it belongs. It doesn't kill. There's jam in your toilet, you flush it out and you clean the toilet. It's going to your soak away. It's full of jam. Are you going to kill the jam in your soak away? I didn't go to Kenya and say, I don't want jam anywhere in my world. I don't want jam anywhere in my world. I don't want to see jam. So the ones my soul must die. Oh, they say, you are a foolish man. You are wasting your energy. Because it has been rendered to where it belongs. You know what I'm saying? By knowledge, it has been moved to where it belongs. So you can't do without jam. For some jams and then your body. I think you know that. They call it your normal flora. Without that, your body will not be okay. So if you over cleanse your gut from germs, or those germs, from those organisms, you are in trouble. You are not going to be healthy. So if you are too clean and say, no germ must exist, I don't want to see E. coli anywhere. And you flush your system to remove all E. coli. Next day, you are just, you go to eat and you know that you have constipation. I went in the house, please. So what am I talking about? That you ignore a sin. So that simple sin can invite death, can invite other damages to you. Ignorance. Praise God. Hallelujah. Which is the major sin of God's people? Ignorance. There are two major sins of God's people: ignorance and going out of the way. You see the way, and you say, I can't walk in this way, just go out of the way and walk in another way. That's God's people. They will see the way and say, no, I can't walk in this way. I can't walk in this way. This way is dangerous. This way I can fall in there. They go and shut and that byway for themselves. Praise God. We will learn later on. That's what the high priest came to take care of those two people. Those who are ignorant and those who are out of the way. You must not have a sense of pity for sins. Must not have a sense of pity and feel, No. It must be rid of. Jesus died for it. And that's why you see every scripture, every of the apostles acknowledge that. James said in James 1:31, he said, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and all superfluity of nothingness. Wherefore, before that, let's see verse 19. For the wrath of man produces not the righteousness of God. Wherefore? I like that. Lay apart all filthiness, not some filthiness. How many? That's gospel. That's gospel. Come on, say gospel. That is unveiling what the faith of Christ comes to do. It's instructing based on that faith. Oh, when I say that faith, based on that knowledge. So it's what Christ has done for us that we do in us. What I say? What Christ has done for us that we do in us. So every instruction of the epistle is around what Christ has done for us that we do in us. So when he's instructing, wherefore lay apart, he's giving you a duty to carry on. Because of what Christ has done. I went in the house place. It's not telling the world to do that. They are dead in their sins. They're living there normally. So you must accept that man has many, plenty filthiness and superfluous of naughtiness. That, you must not gainsay that. You must not doubt that. That is the state of man. If that is not accepted as the state of man, he can't be saved. He doesn't need a savior. If I doesn't need the Christ. Any man who's not in that state does not need the Christ. I went in the house place. Because you don't know why God will send his son. He's not sending his son to improve you. No. He knew where you were. You were dead in sin and trespasses. Oh, when you say you are dead somewhere, it's your normal life. It's your normal economy. Even when you are trying to be a good person, you are doing error. Is that not right? Many times I say, let not your evil, your good work be evil spoken of. Many times your good works are evil spoken of. You even know, you feel what is good to be done, even the way you do is wrong. It makes everything wrong. Can you see that? Amen. You have a good intention, but the method is wrong. And in salvation, both the motive and the method must be right. It must be right. I love you. That's good intention. Is the love, is it communicated? So if it's not communicated, it's still sin that is not preventing the love to be communicated. Can you see that? I love you. I love you. God sees my heart. Yeah, right? But it is not flowing through you. It's just, it can't just flow through you. It's the effect of sin. When sin is treated, it will flow. You not only will, you have the power to do. For it is God who is at work in us, both to will. I can't hear you, please. To do of his good pleasure. So what limit is doing or practicing what is right is sin. What do I call it? I say what? Don't call it another name. Don't say it's just weakness. It's sin. Jesus died for it. That's why he wants to make you an eye whole. Paul said that I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved. If your whole spirit, your whole body, your whole spirit, your whole soul, your body is preserved, it means as it is in the heart, it's finally flowing in the flesh. So your body is now a servant or instrument of righteousness to the, oh my God, as he has that sin, is serving now righteousness. Can you see that? That's liberty. So when you say somebody is holding the mystery of faith, these are realities he's holding and living by. He has come to know it, he has come to believe it, and he lives by it every day. He's alive to God, he's sensitive, he's alive. His eyes are open to the sun, so he does not indulge himself. He does not say, are we in the house, please? It's not easy, it's not difficult to say, you are wrong to that person. He knows where he's wrong. You know what I'm saying? He knows where he's wrong. Oh, I intended it, but I didn't do it. Oh, my. We just say, pray for me. Can you see that? But a man who does not have the mystery of faith will say, God knows my heart now. God knows my heart now. He doesn't know the mystery of faith. So to correct him, basically, it's not easy to correct him easily. It's not easy to correct him. It's not being wicked. It's because he does not know. He's a novice. So we have to just see that the Savior, which is Christ, has salvation. And salvation is to deal with all sin. With all sin. I think it is Paul in the book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Unto him that look for him. 25. So the issue of dealing with sin is not, it's not the issue of cry. You can weep and weep and weep and you have not been improved. So it's not a matter of trying to cry, weep for yourself, just weep for yourself. Weep for, no, it's not. It has to be unveiling. It has to be unveiled. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins. Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, to bear the sins of many. Can you be at home with these scriptures? I don't like movements. I don't like school of thought who try to force the Bible to look alike. No, let it be the way it is. It will reveal God's thought. I'm saying, in those days, when you learn about the American way of gospel, they say be positive in your gospel. Don't be negative in your gospel. Be positive. See, it makes people just feel at home in church. Be positive. You can say something is wrong, but say it's positively speaking. So, and I read the Bible. I said the Bible does not look like that. And it's possible. Because they just say, God loves you and is taking away all your faults. You know, you have faults first. Abi? That's where to start with. And that is not terrorizing. It's admittance of a state. But he said, don't emphasize that place. Just go and say, God died for your sins. And so the man just enjoying it with coffee. He's not seeing his state. He's not seeing where he is in the matter. I went in the house, please. So Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him, let's read together, shall he'll appear the second time. How? Unto what? So if he's a savior bringing salvation, what is he coming to do? To take away all sin. Is it not true? I didn't write that. Without sin, it is without sickness. So if he's talking about sickness, is sickness as it pertains to sin? It's not just body sickness. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus heals sickness and disease. Physically heals them. I went to the house this. But salvation program, which the faith of Jesus Christ brings, is healings for the spirit, soul, they're reflecting the body. You didn't get that? There's healing that comes from the body. It's a rescue mission. God does that for many reasons. Maybe he wants to elongate the life. So what he's doing second half is fulfill his intention. I win the house space. So he can stop that. He wants to show his power to those who don't know him in that manner. Right? So he heals the body. But in his salvation program, what it does is to heal from the inside. So it's first of all primarily healer of the soul. What I say? Primarily. Because sins are in the soul. So without sin, without sickness, without disease, without bondage, without captivity, unto salvation. Primarily in the soul. When you come to this place, you can't shop on gossip anymore, but they know the truth. Minister of hope. You attend healing service for a whole year, hoping. I'm not saying Jesus not heal, but he may never heal that person. He may never heal that person. For reasons, he understands. The way people interpret that you don't have faith, they lie. Somebody who left his house. The ones just healed in the gospel, they didn't leave their house. Jesus met them in their house. Yet, they were healed. The mother-in-law, Peter, did not come to Jesus. Just went to their house. So what faith did that one show? You understand? So what good thing is that you don't have faith enough? It's a lie. It's not true. Praise God. First Peter. Let me read to you from verse 21. Chapter 2. 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. He didn't do it for us and took it away. No. He did it as an example, that ye should do what? Even the death of the cross of Calvary of Jesus Christ. He did it once. For you, he's panning out. You're still going to do your own part. I went in the house, please. He did his own once. Yours is panning out. If you will ever partake in his glory, you must suffer with him. Amen. Okay. Who did no sin, neither was God found in his mouth. Who, when he was revived, did what? Revived not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Wow. Who his own self bear our sins, where? On the tree, that we being dead to sin. Why he bore our sins? That we being dead to sin, should do what? Live unto what? Colon, which means that the way to live to righteousness is that by whose stripes ye were healed. So healing in our soul makes us live unto righteousness. Do you get it now? By whose stripes? So when you take that place out of place there, and you stretch it only for this healing of the body, it's out of context. Amen. Jesus, by his name, does that. But what it does in us is this. Is that we should live unto righteousness. Being dead to sins. So the reason for the cross is to die to sin. That's why we're exempt from that. Is to die to sin. So the essence of the cross is death. To ensure that man can live unto righteousness. What raised Jesus from the grave is death of the cross. If he didn't die on the cross, he won't resurrect. He won't resurrect. If he didn't die on the cross, he may not die. Are we in the house, please? If you want to escape death, you will escape death. But the point it was at that time, he could escape death. But it won't enter into his glory. I've said the glory of his deity. The glory he left. He was in glory already. But there's another glory he left before he came to the world. This is his deity. I will write together, please. If he did die on the cross, he won't wear that glory. That was the glory he was asking for in John 17. Father, glorify thy son with thy own self. With thy own self, with the glory. I said, I've glorified him, but I will yet glorify him. So, he was already a son of glory, but now with the glory of the eternal Son of God. You know, it will be a lamb, the lamb that takes away sin, but it may not be a lamb that sits on the throne. It could be a lamb that took away sin, and not be the lamb that sat on the throne. Come to us, amen. Behold him. John, behold him. Behold him, I said, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He was already the Lamb of God. He has not yet died. So if he didn't die, he would still be the Lamb of God. But he won't be the Lamb on the throne. If you look at the Old Testament, everything God did in the Old Testament, he did it two. Go and check. In offering the scapegoat, he took two. In offering the lamb of cleansing, he took two lambs. You remember that? It's the same offering, but he divided into two, in case this one will not come back. So one went away as a scapegoat, the other one was offered. So blood was still used. So it's a scapegoat that took away sin away. It took away sin, and went in the house place. But it must still return. And because it will not return, they have to make another lamb. I went in the house place. Whose blood went to the temple? You read through Exodus. Let me give you a place to read. Read Exodus. Exodus 29. It will help us. Verse 37. Some of this thou shalt make. You know, all this place is not interesting. Okay, it's not interesting. The one lamb thou shalt offer in the morning, and the other lamb thou shalt offer at even. And with one lamb a tenth deal of flour mingled with the fourth part of an hin of beaten oil, and the fourth part of an hin of wine for a drink offering. And the other lamb thou shalt offer at even, and shall do thereunto according to the meat offering of the morning, and according to the drink offering thereof, for a sweet savor. See there, an offering made by fire unto the Lord. So one has been offered in the morning, but this other one is the one unto the Lord. Amen. See, this is the next verse. This shall be a continual burnt offering throughout your generation at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, where I will meet you to speak there unto you. So there's need for God always to do that, but he can have a place to always symbolize in that dual part. Praise God. Okay. When you get home, read. Let me give you a place to read again. It's going to help you. Leviticus 16. When you get home, read verse 8 to 10. Two goats. One love for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. One take away the sin of the people, and that one is for the Lord. Praise God. Okay. So, the emphasis I'm making tonight is this, that salvation has to do with Christ dealing with sins. If he's not dealing with sins, If he's under Christ, dealing with sin, it's not salvation. If it's the Christ we are preaching and it's not dealing with sins, it's not salvation. If it's the faith, it must be Christ. The Son of God that died on the cross, died for sins of the whole world. So you see Paul emphasizing, thank you very much for that. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. So it means that anybody coming for salvation or coming to Christ must know that the issue, the business is to deal with it in various states. Various states. In the training, you will learn how to speak. You will learn what to say and how to say it. When to say it. To whom to say it. You just say, "My, give me what I should say and what I should speak." How do you come? What I should say and what I should speak. So normally it should be, what I speak is what I say. It's a commandment. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what. See that training. Oh my. So when I say the holy child of God, it's not that he doesn't lie. Oh, it's beyond that. Any human person by piety can just keep all of that. Yeah? Sometimes when I talk to people, I say, I want to hear what I said again. I feel like hearing it again. It's not because I want to record your sin. I just feel like hearing what I said again. Is it right? Is it what I should say? Is it the way I should say it? Is it with the manner or the tone I should say it? Sometimes you say what is right, but the tone is not right. The spirit is not right. The manner is not right. Say, but you're already angry. Say, I'm not angry, but you're already angry. You're already hungry. You're already tensed up. We have not come to talk for 2 minutes. You're already tensed up. You can engage in talking for the next 1 hour. Not because you want to fight. To unmask the darkness. To unmask the devil. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Can you see? So when I say something is life, can you see the way it's trained? Can you see the way it's trained? What to say? It's sayings, are his doctrines. What he's speaking is the delivery of how he delivers doctrine. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. So my father has given commandment of the doctrine. I have his doctrine and I know how to deliver doctrine. I went in the house this. I know what I should say. I know what I should not say. Sometimes they will press him and press him and say it's not for now. And you just know that from people like Paul. Say, you can't bear them. You can't bear them. You can't understand. You can't do them. You can't bear them. Why? You can't now. You are still can't now. And I was not insulting them. They asked it. If they say that to you, if you insult me, Paul, you insult me. That's insult. That's insult. What is it? It's because you are not. Just because we just obey you and hear your message. Huh? you're dull of hearing. And it's not accusing them, it's exposing their estate. Are we in the house, please? Righteousness is to save us from all unrighteousness. Titus 2. Let's read from verse 14. Okay, let's stay here. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation. That bringeth, so I say, grace that bringeth salvation. You know what it's dealing with? Any great teaching that is not dealing with sin is not grace. In the context of the Messiah, which is Christ, God, people can have their own Messiah, you know what I'm saying? For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, said next day, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. See the standard. Huh? In this present world, not in the world, in this present world. looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God. Who is this great God? And our Savior, Jesus Christ. Come on, say our Savior. Come on, say it again. Shout it again. Let me hear you better. Come on, say it again. Let him hear you. It's called Jesus Christ. He's our Savior from all unrighteousness. I'm not perfect yet. I need salvation. Oh. I won't because of my state trying to hide myself. I'd rather come to light. Let light expose me. Who gave himself for us? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, oh my, zealous of good work. It means when we are redeemed from iniquity, we are empowered. It's empowerment. I want empowerment. It's redemption from iniquities. What limits us from being productive is iniquities. And purify. You purify the sons of Levi. Purify unto himself a peculiar people. Peculiar, zealous of good works. When you see people rejoicing and rejoicing in love, excited in love, it's what they have been saved from themselves. Love doesn't come in straight if it does not take away sin. That's right. Love, go and see. Love rejoices not in iniquity, but in truth. So I will walk in love. I will walk. If you are not cleansed, you have not purified, you will walk in lust. Your intention for love will become lust. I call it love unfeigned. Faith unfeigned. Unfeigned faith. Unfeigned. Love unfeigned. Share it. Amen. I want this reality to be done in the basic for us coming to Christ. Coming to Christ, not just believing Christ now. Coming means making progress to Christ. It must be the underlying factor. It's not sense of defeat. It's not sense of inferiority. No. It's a sense of admittance and accepting provisions. The mystery of faith. Holding the mystery of faith in a pure conscience. You see, when someone is a deacon in those places, tonight I feel my heart that we can respond to God based on this understanding and accepting our Savior as the one who has come to save us indeed. He's come with salvation. He's come with salvation. He's come. He's bringing salvation. It's lowly. It's meek. It's just. It's just. He came because of you and I. He came because of where we were. And he's the only one who can make a difference in our life. He loved so much. Jesus loved so much. That's why he came. He came and he can raise anyone. He can raise the worst person. Doesn't matter what people have said about you. When you allow him really accept that he can be as bad as that. Even as bad and worse than what you think about. Then his mercy can reach you and I. His mercy can make a difference in our life. Amazingly, to whom much is forgiven, in all the time they love them all. So sometimes the worse we are, the better love does in our life. The better love does in our life, the better know, saving, you know, the salvation does in the life. The better the Savior does in the life, the soul, the better His grace works in the life. Rash kaponi masanda la brahanda malita hana siya polia. Rabalashkia nasya baliba rabalashkia. Do you have any sense in you, a sense of religiosity, a sense of goodness, a sense of works, a sense of being, a sense of upbringing, a sense of whatever morals? I tell you, you don't know yourself. You don't know how bad things are. You don't know how bad things are. You don't know how bad things are. If it were good, it won't die. Jesus won't need to come. Messiah won't need to come. Maybe a prophet will just have to come and do that. But it's very bad. That's why the Savior came. That's why he came. The power of sin and death, the strength of sin is strong. Doesn't let go easily. Doesn't give way easily. He doesn't. He doesn't want to lose the ground easily. But Jesus Christ died to unseat the reign of sin, the reign of death, the reign of hell, the reign of ignorance, the reign of waywardness, the reign of inconsistency, every reign that is against the reign of God's life in us. He died for that. Rush kapani ba rabalata hasta paniana, membresh kepeshe rabalata siabania. That's what you have believed. You have believed Jesus the Lord as Christ. That's what you have believed. That's what you have believed. That's the truth of the gospel. That's what you have believed. That's what you have believed. Mera baba shata la brahana mashapoma. Reke hende siapani ma rabalashkiata. Ralo pohonde sede lebehere shkipeli rabalata siaba. Prata handa siapani ma rabalashkianda sabalia. Brema handa siabana ma rashke polibaso. Jesus made a difference in Paul's life. An injurious man, a perjured man, a blasphemer, a murderer, all kind of vices. But when Jesus came in, he made a difference. Because he knew his state. He wrote after many years how dangerous he was. Baleta handa bashanda la barabalashkianta. Breta hostia polia. Rash kahata. Brenesia, Labarata, Raska Pasha, Rabalata Handa Siaponia, Rabalepa Handa Siapo, Mashata Labar Rush, Rabalashka Pasha, Rabalata Sia, Debedebedebedebe, Aboshka Pasha, Rabalata Sasia Valley of Russia. Thank you. Jesus, thank you. You have saved before, you are saving today. And you ever be the Savior. That's the beautiful thing about you, Lord. That's the beautiful thing about you, Lord. If you stay on the earth for the next 1,000 years, we can't cease preaching. You are preaching you. Preaching of your glory, of your grace, of your mercy, of your kindness, of your love. You are not part of us. You came from above. You only took on flesh. You were holy. You were holy. You were righteous. You were blameless. You were harmless. Thank you, Father. If you're here tonight, you're not born again, it's a place for you to just die with the Lord and accept this reality. And embrace Jesus, your Savior, tonight. He still saves. There's power in Him to save. I tell you, He's still able to save them to uttermost that come to God by Him. He has saved us. He's saving man. He will yet save the whole world. He will save the world of sin, save the world of unrighteousness, save the world of wickedness. He will save the dying world. He will save the whole dying world. He will save and save. He will save, the nations of the earth. He will save the killers. He will save the religious men. The bygones, He will save them. He will save them. He will save those who hate men, who hate God, who hate and kill. He will save. He can save and He will save them. He will save. That's who He is. Lord, we bless you tonight. We appreciate.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.